Good afternoon, dear sisters and brothers. Welcome back to another soul-stirring session of Love to Love, where we explore everything that brings joy and bliss to our higher selves. So this is Chandu Vijay coming to you live from the studios of Radio Sai, right here in Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Welcome back, dear listeners. We have picked a very interesting topic for discussion today, and that is happiness. Well, a simple word, but you know what? Many find it difficult to continuously remain in their happy place. Now, why is that so? Everyone wants to be happy, am I right? No one likes to be depressed or miserable, yet it is a struggle every day to remain happy, blissful, and joyful. So what makes you happy? Is it food? Or is it hanging out with friends? Or is it reading a good book? Is it traveling? Is it singing bhajans? Is it listening to Swami's voice? Well, to start off the pace today, let us try to define happiness. And I personally think that it is not possible to define it in words, because happiness is a state of being, a feeling that emerges from within us when we are truly connected to the divine self. And if we do need to sum it up in words, Happiness is simply the state of being happy. Well, so here is a challenge for you. What can we do to stay in a happy state 24 hours a day? You know, most of the times, little things tend to ruffle our feathers. We may wake up and to find that there is no water in the tap when we are in the middle of brushing our teeth. Or we may find that our brand new shoes are dirtied by the muddy waters in the street. There may be traffic on the way and it may delay you to get to work on time. There might be a big pile of documents to look at before taking a lunch break. So every day there are a million things that can upset us or turn our happy morning into a stressful one. So, how can we stay happy? What is the secret to everlasting happiness? Stay tuned, dear listeners, and here is a happy song to help you get in the mood for today's theme.
Jaya Raja, Jaya Raja.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So let's dive into the first part of our happiness segment. And here's the situation for you. Now, you are at work, all ready to start the day with zest. And before you arrive at your cubicle, your boss calls you and gives you a pile of things to do on top of what is already sitting on your desk. So now you know that you have double the amount of work to complete in a day, and you foresee yourself skipping lunch to try to complete everything before heading home. And as the day progresses, things keep going wrong and urgent matters pop up that needs to be handled immediately. And you try to balance all this, but it is very difficult to stay in that happy place that you were before the day started off. So how can you in such situations stay happy? How can you get back to being happy once you are stressed, annoyed, irritated, or depressed at the way things are turning out? So different people employ different methods. And yesterday I spoke to Mrs. Karuna Munshi of Radio Sai to hear her thoughts on this matter. And here is Mrs. Karuna Munshi now sharing her two cents on how she stays calm and collected and most of all happy when things go wrong.
Sai Ram Chandu, I wish I could say that every time I'm upset, I tell myself something so wise that worry not, this too shall pass. But it doesn't happen because in the heat of the moment, I tend to get embroiled in my own thought process. There's this tape recorder going on in my head. And there are a few things that help me to get back into my happy space, so to speak. Firstly, I have to turn to sweet things in my life. The sweetest of them all is Bhagwan. So if I'm really upset about something or brooding over something, I like to have my one-on-one with Swami and say it as it is, because in life there has to be someone you can turn to without having to be guarded and worried about what are they going to think about what I said. Will they be offended? Will they be hurt? For me, Swami is that person. He is my psychiatrist. So I go to him, I sit on my couch in front of my Lord, and I went. And when I tell him as it is, I find it really helps me to feel lighter and better, and I place my burdens at his lotus feet. After dealing with the sweetest part of my life, I go to the next sweet part. I usually indulge myself in a dessert, and when something creamy, sweet, and delicious melts in my mouth, I feel a little better. Definitely it helps. Comfort food. And more practical than that is, let's say I'm wound up and I'm not in a happy place in my head while driving the car. When I come out of the car, I leave that physical space, I leave that negativity and move away from it. Or if I'm upset on my desk, if I walk away from that space, because I think that negative energy is around you at that time, and it's a great idea to just step away from it and look back. And there are days when I feel that I'm going on with the same track in my head and, you know, repeating stuff to myself, which I'm not particularly happy about because it's negative. So what I do at the end of the day, when I say my prayers, I press this imaginary eject button on my forehead and pull out the CD that's going on and on and on and bothering me. And I hand over that CD to Swami and tell him all this confusion, all this conflict in my head, I'm laying it at your lotus feet. The CD is yours. Burn it, smash it, throw it away, toss it off. It's not mine. So please let me be my true self, your daughter, your loving daughter who's supposed to be always happy. So help me to get back to my normal self. It's like you need to press a reset button in your system when your computer is going haywire. So for me, that's what I do when I just leave it all at Swami's lotus feet. I press my reset button and I just take a chill pill and smile and say, it's all right. Swami's in charge. Everything will be okay. If you pray, leave it at Swami's lotus feet and sleep, when you wake up next morning, it doesn't seem so bad. I think that's the beauty of time. And everything looks less harsher after a little while, a few hours later. And then I seek Swami's guidance. I either deal with it, I try to change it. If I can't, I try to change my response to it. And just let it be. Sometimes doing nothing also helps. So it's a variety of things I do, but they all revolve around Bhagwan and a delicious dessert.
May the love of It feeds the hungry and it holds the pain. It seals the promise with just one kiss. The true blue love. Oh, I'd die for this. Oh, give me true blue love. Yeah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So, do you know what is one of the simplest ways to be happy always? Now, it is something that Bhagwan constantly reminds us to do, actually. Well, it is gratitude. Expressing gratitude has been scientifically proven to be a way to increase and retain our happiness quantifiably. Expressing gratitude reminds us of all the good things that are present in our lives right now, and all the things that we are blessed to experience and share on a daily basis. In fact, gratitude is a great way to start off our days. You can be grateful for anything and everything. For example, today I am grateful for the hot cup of tea and the fantastic view of the mountains I get to enjoy in the mornings before I start my day. I'm grateful that I work and live in Puttaparthi, and I'm grateful that I'm alive. So dear listeners, what are you grateful for today? Try to make a list of 10 things you are grateful for every day. Write it down, say it out aloud, or simply think about it. Well, you can be grateful for the greatest of miracles and the simplest of actions. Always remember that whatever we have today is simply a gift from the divine within. Choose to focus on the blessings, and when we do that, we have no choice but to feel happy. You know, one big problem that we all have is that we forget to be grateful. So how can we teach ourselves and our children to be grateful and thankful for all the things that we have right now? Now here is a little game that we can play with kids to try to imbibe this simple lesson of gratitude. Give your children something to carry with them in their pockets during the day. You know, it can be a little pouch of marbles. It could be a packet of vibhuti. It could be a photograph of Swami. It could be some coins, whatever. And tell them that whenever they feel what's in their pockets or hear it or, you know, they become conscious of it, they should think of something to be thankful for during the day. Now, this is a simple way to imbibe the lesson of gratitude in kids. In fact, we adults can use this too. And I think the best way is to link the act with something we always use. For example, our cell phones. Every time we reach out for our cell phones, let us remember to think of one thing to be grateful for during the day.
Would like to sing, tell us exactly what Swami speaks.
Don't worry, be happy.
Why are you afraid and why do you fear? You don't need to worry when I am here.
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
You're tired, you come from far away. You keep in ashram, there is no more place to stay.
Don't worry.
Oh no.
Be happy.
You don't have place to lie your head. Somebody came and took your bed.
Don't worry,
they said,
be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double.
Don't worry, be happy.
Life is love. Enjoy it. Don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Look at the problems like the passing cloud. Whatever it is, it'll soon pass. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
My eyes have seen the glory of the Swami.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You know, sometimes it is not really just being irritated, annoyed, or angry that makes us lose the connection to happiness. It can also be something more serious, like loss of a loved one, or a life-changing situation, an accident, and other things. So when such things happen, it is very easy to lose our faith in love and life. So how do we stay happy when things like this happen? You know, let's see what Swami has to say on being happy. Swami says, happiness results only from difficulties. Pleasure is an interval between two pains. It is impossible to experience pleasure without pain. You may be one of affluence or a spiritual aspirant. You still get what you deserve. You cannot expect mangoes after sowing neem seed and vice versa. As is the seed, so is the fruit. Similarly, as is the feeling, so is the result. Pain and pleasure result from one's own feelings. People are deluded thinking that they are subjected to pain and pleasure from external world. In reality, they result from their own feelings. They should transform their heart with sacred feelings. Today man is changing, but not his mind. Years are rolling by, but his feelings have not become pure. He will attain peace only when there is transformation in his feelings. Well, dear listeners, you know, yesterday morning, while I was reflecting on this and I was walking, I happened to glance at a man who was walking towards me, and on his t-shirt was printed, "It only hurts when you think about it." How true is that? Difficulties and sorrows may be present in our lives, but we should not continuously focus on it. Learn the lessons, experience what we need, and move on to the next step without going back to the past over and over again. So our choices are responsible for how we perceive what happens within us. Let's choose to feel happy all the time.
Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Baba, take me away. Sai Baba, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Baba, take me away. Sai Baba, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Baba, take me away. Sai Baba, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Swami, take me away. Oh, Swami, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Swami, take me away. Oh, Swami, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Baba, take me away. Sai Baba, take me away. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while.
Joy, 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 Baba, boundless joy. Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing with joy. Happy, happy, very happy, very happy, such a sigh. Happy, happy, very happy, very happy, such a sigh. Joy, 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 joy.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So, we have discovered so far that happiness is a state of being, a conscious choice that we can all make depending on how we choose to feel each moment of our lives. We have also seen that being grateful is a proven way to be happy always. Now, what are some other ways to be happy? Now, how about just simply remembering to smile every day at every person we come into contact with? A small smile and a greeting, even to a stranger, can make us feel good and also share that happiness with other people. You know, as we walk around getting this done, we are so caught up in our own worlds that we forget about people around us. So next time you're waiting in line for coffee or at the train station, even waiting to book the ticket, or just walking down the street, smile and wish that stranger you come across a good morning. You know, sure, some people might think that you're a little crazy at first, but well, everything needs some time to get used to. Now let's listen to Brother Hari Shankar, from who works here in the Central Trust Office, on his thoughts about happiness. How can we remain happy 24 hours a day?
That is a good question. The way you put it, like if something disturbs you, how do you get back your balance? That is pretty important, the first thing. Like, why we need to do that is, like, supposing you have to respond to that situation. We usually react instead of responding. Yes. And getting your balance back has you think about that particular situation in a very, again, balanced manner. So your response is more likely to be appropriate than when you're in an emotional state. So I recall way back in 2003 when I had just joined as staff in the Central Trust office. For some reason, there were a lot of things that were disturbing me at that time, situation in the family and other things that were going on. And it was at one such time that I was in Swami's presence. Swami was giving darshan in Vrindavan. So I had traveled from Prashantinilayam to Vrindavan that day for darshan. It was a very normal day. I mean, there was no program or festival schedule for that particular day. And even as I was there sitting for darshan, even as Swami was giving darshan, all these ideas were colliding, all these thoughts were colliding in my mind. And I really wanted Swami's guidance. And as these thoughts were really developing into a frenzy, I saw Swami do something very unusual. He had proceeded halfway through the darshan hall. He was, standing somewhere near the devotees. He suddenly signaled for the discourse table to be brought to the stage. And Swami began his discourse. I recall the very first thing he said. Usually Swami starts with a poem, a couplet. And Swami began by saying, "All your sorrows and all your joys exist only in your imagination." And I totally recall how that feeling of, you know, some weight being a burden being lifted off my shoulders. And what I really got was that so much of it is something that we add meaning to that particular situation. Say somebody is screaming at me or somebody says something hurtful. If I ask myself, who made it hurt? Or who is the person who made it look like that? Who brought anger, the meaning of anger into that particular situation, it is always me. And the moment I take responsibility for that, the moment I become aware that I am responsible for the reaction that I create, I have power over how to now change the color of that particular situation. To give you another analogy that I use from time to time, like I can ask you a puzzle, Chandu. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you that there is a narrow neck bottle and there is a duck inside that bottle. I want you to extricate that duck, remove that duck from the bottle without damaging the bottle or killing that duck. How will you do that?
Well, when you're framing the question, I was about to say break the bottle. Then you told without damaging the bottle. That is very tricky. I have no idea.
Yeah. So, the thing many people really get at that moment is, one way of answering that is to ask, how did it get into the bottle in the first place?
Okay.
And the only place that a duck can get into a narrow-necked bottle is in your imagination.
Okay.
And it is only in your imagination that duck can be removed. And you see, most of the situations that we encounter whenever we are emotionally imbalanced, most of the time, you can actually look for the duck that you have put into the bottle and how you are grappling with that problem of extricating that duck. There is no duck inside the bottle. As simple as that.
Wow, I think that's amazing. Thank you.
You give me hope when all around was lost, and I could see no point in trying. For I saw love passing by me. You came into my life, you came into my life. I look around and what I had is gone. Now I finally found what I've been missing. The road I travel is so clear. Since you came into my life, you came into my life. Yeah. give me faith, the kind I thought had gone. Somewhere down the line I think I'd lost it. Now I felt changes in my heart. My faith in you is strong. My faith in you is strong.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So now we know that being happy is not as hard as we think it is. And some more easy ways to cultivate being happy is shared on the Huffington Post, and I pulled out a few things from there that I think is quite relevant to us. It says, firstly, always remember to laugh. Laughter is a great way to get those happy juices flowing. Next, spend some time discovering the spiritual aspect of yourself. Read, reflect, meditate, take long walks in nature, and etc. Apart from that, sleep enough. Do not burn the midnight oil unnecessarily. Remember that body needs rest. And a body that is tired results in feelings that are tired and irritable too. And here is my favorite tip. Exercise. Now, studies have shown that a little bit of exercise each day alone can ease symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress. It amplifies the feeling of relaxation and happiness and improves the way we feel about ourselves in whole. Now, another important tip is to take some time out and unplug from the virtual world. You know, let's put away the smartphones and social media for a while. Take time to meet and talk the old-fashioned way, that is, face-to-face, eye-to-eye. Human interaction is built in within us. You know, let's not try to become walking robots. And no matter what happens, always look on the bright side. If you accidentally spilled coffee on your crisp white shirt, it's okay. Lucky the glass didn't break and hurt you. If you missed the bus to work, it's okay. Take a walk and breathe in some fresh air. Always remember, you will stress only if you stress yourself. Thank you. Welcome back, dear listeners. And to end today's segment, we have in conversation with us Brother Sai Giridhar, a research scholar from the Department of Chemistry, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And he's going to talk to us about what he learned from Swami about happiness and how can we put into practice some tips that will help us in this journey to everlasting bliss. So I'll now let Sai Giridhar take it away, and thank you for listening. And I hope this segment has helped everyone at least get a glimpse of how easy being happy really is. Well, after this at 3:30 p.m., we will have the Telugu Live segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandeshachari, hosted by Brother Sai Prasad. Have a beautiful weekend ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
See, how to remain happy all the time is a very difficult task in a sense. But then, in my own case, when I look at myself, I have to express my gratitude to Swami, because I don't know how, but I have this tendency not to carry forward things which have happened into my present or into my future as far as possible. It's something which came more naturally, but quickly I recognized when I spoke to my friends or when we used to discuss, you know, how to solve these issues and problems. Most of the people carry forward the hurt feeling and, you know, the ill that others have done to them. And as a result, that is what, you know, grows into greater and greater pain. It simply snowballs. And when it snowballs, every time that thought comes into your head, you know, it becomes impossible for you to be happy. Your natural state, in fact, happiness is your natural state. Swami says that you are Sat Chit Ananda. And Swami very clearly tells us that you don't have to strive for happiness. You are naturally, your state is happiness. In fact, that is why if somebody is happy, you don't question him why you are happy, Swami says. If somebody is sad, on the other hand, you feel that something is wrong and you go and ask them, why are you feeling sad? Is there something that I can do for you? This is a natural feeling in human beings, not knowing the background behind this. And Swami had made that very clear. He says, he gives this analogy and he says, the reason why you feel happiness is natural and sorrow or misery is unnatural and you want to do something about it is because happiness is your nature. You are Sat Chit Ananda. Ananda is you and I. So, in this regard, let us come to what is happiness really. And Swami says that besides the fact that it is our own nature, our mind, not recognizing it, seeks for it in the outside world all the time. You're looking for things which can make you happy. You're looking for people which can make you happy. You're looking for situations which can make you happy. While truly you are the one who is the embodiment of happiness. Which is quite puzzling, and nobody would be ready to believe that today if you tell them, you know. And once I asked this question to Swami, I said, Swami, when there is only one, which Swami says is Sat Chit Ananda, which is our nature, why do we see it as many? And Swami was very prompt in his reply. It was in Bhajan Hall. Swami was seated on the throne and I was at his lotus feet. Swami looked outside into the world and into the Kulwant Hall. And then he said, swaying his hand that way, he said, Chudu, Lokamanta 000, Swami said. How many ever zeros you want to put? Swami said, the whole world is full of 000. How many ever zeros you put, they have no value. But if you put one in front of the zero, that is when it gains value. For example, you put 10 by itself, no value. 2 zeros, no value. 6 zeros, no value. But if you put 1 in front of it, it becomes 10, 100 and a million. So it is that 1 that really lends value to all the zeros, Swami said. As I was contemplating on this, the understanding that dawned on me is all the time we give value to things and we determine that, okay, this is what is valuable to me, which means if I have this, or if this person is there with me, or if you speak to me in this particular way only, I will be happy. Which means you are defining or limiting your happiness. And unfortunately, the world is like a 1 liter bottle. While the entire ocean of happiness is there, which is ourselves, what happens is when we look out into the world and start defining, because there is no doubt. See, if I say I love the iPhone and iPhone is going to make me happy, there is no doubt when I actually buy that iPhone, say 4S, it is going to make me happy. There is no question about that. But the issue is, every such object in the world which we feel makes us happy comes with an expiry date, which is not there in the object, which actually we are attributing to it. We give the expiry date to our own happiness, or the object which we feel gives us happiness. In fact, Swami tells a very beautiful story. He says, see, suppose you like a beautiful car, Ferrari or something like that, and your neighbor buys it. You don't have it. Your neighbor buys that car, and the car is parked right in front of your house. If the car itself is the source of happiness, if you feel, yes, that car is going to make me happy, and every day you walk out of your house, you can see the car. You can have the darshan of the car. And you can go and actually touch it. If you're lucky, your neighbor is a good friend. He might even take you on a ride every day to your workplace in that car. Will it still make you happy? Swami asks. And the answer actually is no. Unless I own the car, it is not going to give me that kind of happiness, right? I'll only be green with jealousy that my neighbor is having the car. So Swami says, the reason for that is, it is only the sense of possession of the object or the ownership of the object that actually makes us happy. Because that is how we have defined it. For heaven's sake, it has nothing to do with anybody else. So, having understood this from Swami very clearly, one personal practice which I endeavor to do is not to overrate anything, or not to give too much value to anything other than that one which Swami said, which actually gives value to all the zeros, and that is God. In fact, I very clearly remember how Swami said that one. He showed that one with his finger, and he said, when that one is added, he pointed to himself. He said, when that one is added to zeros, that is when true value is gained. You know, so it is pretty simple formula for me, that as long as I remind myself that how much ever I, you know, attribute value to happiness in the worldly stuff, it is only going to give me as much as I feel it is going to give me. The day I feel 4S is outdated and iPhone 5 has come, I need the 5, that's all. The same piece of iPhone which was so tremendously joyous to me, now no longer seems to give the same kind of joy. It means I lose my happiness. I lose my sleep over thinking, why, how am I going to get the next phone, which has some XYZ features, which is better than this. So this kind of worldly happiness keeps evolving. And one direct result of likes and dislikes is when you get something you like, you feel very, very happy for that moment, or that moment could be even a week, even a month sometimes. But when you get something which you dislike, whether it is food, whether it is people, whether it's, you know, anything material, or simply life situations which you dislike, if it's coming to you, the first natural outcome is anger and disgust. Mm-hmm. And Swami says it is very important to control this anger, because once you're carried away by anger and disgust, you're going to go far, far away from peace and happiness. There is no way you can be there. And it is very interesting, while Swami says that these are animal qualities, anger, hatred, jealousy, all these are animal qualities. And Swami very clearly tells that you have to overcome these and nurture human qualities. There are four human virtues which Swami says is Maitri, Karuna, Mudita and Upeksha. To just give meaning to them, Maitri in very simple terms is friendship, Karuna is compassion, Mudita is to feel a great sense of joy from within, looking at the success or achievements of others, or simply listening to great music. Mm-hmm. instead of feeling, why am I not, you know, singing like him, or why am I not playing like him, to feel great sense of appreciation and joy in your heart, that is mudita. And upeksha is to remain neutral to people, non-expectancy basically. You don't expect anything out of adharmic people. You don't expect that the good people will do something good for you. You know, Swami says cultivating these four qualities, to be a human being first is paramount, and you have to give up these animal qualities. Now, defining anger very clearly as an animal quality, let's look at the animal behavior and see how anger actually is triggered in these animals. You know, most of the animals define their territory. For example, the alpha lion, you know, it actually urinates a region, a huge region, defining that this is my zone. No one should dare enter. Any other species or animal which dares to enter or encroach upon that space which the lion has defined for itself, the natural instinct of the animal is to get angry and attack. Mm-hmm. Right? This we all know. And different animals have their own special personalized space defined. If you see, it is not very different with human beings. Emotionally, more importantly, physically, in terms of relationships, every time we define a space around us, and anybody who enters that space without our permission or in a way which we dislike it, whether it is physical space, it's emotional space, it's intellectual space, spiritual space sometimes, we get disgusted. Immediate response is anger, right? And once we get carried away by that anger, again we have lost our head. So what is the solution to it? I find a very beautiful solution, which I constantly endeavor to practice, is to define my space in such a way that nobody can encroach it. So how do you do that? There are two ways, I feel. One is I do a kind of a space meditation. The space meditation is quite famous. Many people know this. It's simply that you close your eyes and you assume that you are space. Mm-hmm. So if I am space, where am I? Definitely when I close my eyes, within me I am space. Then I see that, oh, this body also is occupying space. Oh, this room is also space. Oh, the entire Puttaparthi is space. Oh, the whole world is space. The entire universe is space. So slowly I imagine that I am space, and I start expanding myself into the entire universe. And with this expansiveness, when I walk, all the things that I see, all the people whom I meet are all in me.
Yeah.
They are me or they are in me, you know, however you take it. But there is no way that I am going to hurt myself. You know, so I have defined such a space where there is nobody outside of me to encroach that space. So that is one superb secret to happiness, you know, if you want to consistently keep that going. But of course, you must remind yourself of this, and you must have regular gaps in the day where you keep doing this. That is one way. The other way is you define a space within you, where, you know, you go inside in meditation, or simply doing namasmarana, or close your eyes and imagine the form of Swami. Basically, you have turned your mind inward. So when you have turned your mind inward, so basically who is getting hurt? It is the mind who is getting hurt. Mind has defined these spaces. Mm-hmm. Body has a limited space. It cannot expand or contract at its will, isn't it? And as far as the soul or the conscience or the Atma is concerned, it is all pervading, right? The one who has problem with space, and hence with, you know, anger and all the other related issues, is the mind. So if you are able to turn the mind inward, what happens is, straight away that is one space nobody can encroach. Okay. You simply place your mind inward. And in fact, Swami gives these many tips for anger. In fact, against anger. Swami says, if you get angry, what you should do? Okay. Swami says, drink a cool glass of water. And Swami says, just first thing is move away from the situation. That is, wherever is the source of anger or unhappiness which is there, mm-hmm. first move away from that source. Because if you are near that source, mind is so entangled in that moment or in that situation or in that person or in that emotion that it doesn't want to come out. It actually enjoys this stuff, you know. So mind gets involved so badly that it is impossible for you to withdraw your mind and move it anywhere else if the object or the source of unhappiness is there around you. So Swami says, first walk away from that source. Second thing is, he says, have a brisk walk. Simply lie down and close your eyes, Swami says. Or he says, look into the mirror. Look at your own face in the mirror when you get angry. Or Swami says, sing a bhajan loud. What I recognize is, in each of these things, especially when you look at this drinking water, or singing the glory of God, or closing your eyes and simply lying down, what is really happening? If you drink a cool glass of water and keenly observe yourself, you can actually feel the coolness percolating down, you know, inside you. Yeah, you can feel that inside you. So the first thing that happens is the mind's attention goes inside you. Mm. Even physically, it goes inside you, right? In the same way, when you think of Swami or do Namasmarana, okay, the sound is coming from inside. So again, your mind is diverted to some object other than the source of distraction or unhappiness. So moment that happens, you know, your mind gets time. You need to buy time. That's all it is. In fact, I very vividly remember one Swami had come to hostel and Swami was explaining, how do you take care of all these six vices which cause unhappiness to you, which take you away from the feeling of happiness, from the happiness that we are? And Swami said, see, look at them like waves in the ocean, the tidal waves. Mm. So if we have gone to a beach, we know that these waves constantly rise up, fall down, and they hit us. Swami said, if you ride the wave, what the wave is going to do, it's going to carry you and simply throw you out, mm-hmm. behind. You're going to move backwards in life. Mm-hmm. If you ride the wave, it is going to take you back. It's going to carry you and push you off. But Swami said, if you stand your ground, I remember now how beautifully our parents used to tell us on this beach that, you know, put your leg for some time so it gets into the sand.
Yeah.
So it gets stable enough so that even if a strong wave comes, you know, we don't get washed off by the wave. And Swami was saying that. Swami was saying that all you need to do is don't get carried away by that emotion, which is like the tidal wave. If you can practice just standing there, allow the wave to rise, allow the wave to fall. When it falls, it is gone, right? For all the emotions which distract you from your personal happiness, this is one very beautiful solution. But of course, this needs a lot of practice, continuous practice.
It is like you're just observing it. You're just an observer. You're observing your emotion rise and fall, but you don't react to it or anything. Is that what you're talking?
Exactly. But this needs a lot of practice and a lot of contemplation on Swami's words. That is when you can even practice this properly. Because I remember in Chennai when one of our brothers asked, Swami, what is surrender? Swami said, there is nothing that you can give in surrender. And then Swami went on to say, whether good happens to you or bad happens to you, have firm faith and conviction that it is Swami who is giving it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you have that, you know, unshakable conviction, that is true surrender. And this kind of, you know, allowing these emotions to pass require that kind of a thought process going in us. And we need to do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. In the sense, contemplate on what Swami says regularly, meditate on it, and it will become a living reality in our life eventually. So, finally, one very practical method, which has really baffled me, is I did not know that it can have this kind of an effect, was when I heard this talk of these two very, very beautiful people, Jonima and Kalasu, who belong to this Lightstorm group, you know. I was listening to their talk, and they have been here since the 1960s or 70s. They were the first few people to sing the English songs in Swami's presence. And it is so beautiful to listen to them, so much of love that they share. And in their one of their talks, they gave this beautiful advice. They said, see, a practice which we can develop is send love to everybody. You know, for example, Kalasu says that, you know, you simply send out these vibrations or thoughts saying that may all the beings in the entire world be awakened to the truth that they are God, they are not different from God. May their lives be filled with loads of joy, love and laughter. I simply love this prayer, and it so happened that, you know, we stay in hostel, so discipline is the language which has to be used in the hostel, because it is so dear to Swami also, and it is a sure way to progress in the path of spirituality.
So now we are basically talking about preventive measures than curative measures. It's like what to do so that we don't get upset at all, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about situations where we get upset and how to come out of it.
Correct.
But now we are talking about situation, how we can not get upset in life.
Exactly.
By this practice.
For example, what we spoke until now was something like the immediate cure,
yes,
kind of stuff.
Yes, yes.
But now we are looking at a little bit more long-term, perspective of how to remain happy.
Yes.
Of course, that space analogy is definitely one of the long-term.
Sure. Yes.
When you are in a situation of anger, it's difficult to define spaces.
Yeah.
But then this particular experience which I had was phenomenal. In the hostel, as I said, though discipline is the most important, and in implementing discipline, there is some amount of toughness that we have to gain. Swami said, first of all, unless you love your students, you cannot implement discipline. Means you cannot be strong with them, because it will be your ego which is being strong with them. So you have to love them first, and then you should. But in that process, somewhere, the discipline does become a little bit tight. You know, so you get all those stares from the young students and all that. So I was wondering how to strike this balance, means how to love them, yet do what is right, mm-hmm. what pleases Swami. So in that process, this prayer which Jonima and Kalasu gave, I found it phenomenal. So I just used to, without any expectation, I didn't expect anything to happen, but I used to just send this thought out into the world, saying that may all the hearts in the entire cosmos be awakened to the truth that they are God, they are not different from God. May all lives be filled with loads of joy, love and laughter. And when this thought was sent for a few days, I don't know how many days, but I would just simply send it without any expectation. And suddenly I saw everybody in hostel, all the students, when they walk by, the kind of smiles they would give, such sweet smiles. Of course, they are very, very good guys. They do give those, but it was a very different experience. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. Because I could feel some kind of a reciprocation from them, while personally I have not done anything for that boy, mm-hmm. for that student. But I have seen so many such students who would come, and I would feel their love, literally. That is when I recognize that, you know, whatever you send out, Swami says the whole world is reflection, reaction, resound. So whatever you send to the world, that's what you're going to get back. You send love, you have to get back love. There is no choice. Because the world is like that. It's reflection, reaction, resound of what you are. So this is one fantastic practice, I feel, which can make a lot of difference. In fact, they go on to say, if you have a very troublesome boss, you just go when the boss is not around to his chair and touch the chair and say, whoever sits on this chair, may their hearts be awakened to the truth that they are God, they are not different from God, may their life be filled with loads of joy, love and laughter. They say when you transact with money, mm-hmm. imagine you're taking a 100 rupee note to make some transaction to some shopkeeper, and you, before giving, you quickly make this prayer in your mind, may your heart be awakened to the truth, whoever touches this note, may their hearts be awakened to the truth that they are God, they are not different from God, may their lives be filled with loads of joy, love and laughter. Now imagine how many people are going to touch this note. I feel this is a very, very practical and a beautiful tip which I receive. I'm grateful to Swami and also to those wonderful people, Jonima and Kalasu, to have shared this with us. And I find that as a very, very practical way to keep myself in my own state of happiness. And it's as simple as that. You get from the world what you give all the time. Mm-hmm.
Sunshine, you're coming to your life.